Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. Many happy returns. Jesus, hope you had a good birthday. If you enjoyed your Christmas period, well done. If you had a terrible time, well, let us be the salve to that particular emotional wound.
Would you still say it's Christmas period now, though? What's your
call? Yeah, if there's still Christmas-themed Mrs. Brown boys on the fucking telly, I think we're allowed. If the idents on BBC One, I was a little snowman in them. I think that's fine, to be honest.
If Sky Sports are still doing the footballs as snowballs advert,
yes.
Which is very good, by the way.
Right.
I actually really like it.
I don't think I've seen it.
So, like, it's like Christmas is a time for football or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, it's just really Christmassy. So they it's snowing, but the snows are footballs.
Is that it? You said it was really exciting and it is a snowball.
Well, Jamie Redknapp's got his sketches on. He's scooting around.
Yeah, honestly.
Doing his thing. Yeah. How's your Christmas day, Peter?
Yeah, it was all right. It was
uneventful.
I think that's what we need.
That's what you
want. I just want, you know, no alarms, no surprises, just a little bit quiet.
Like being a referee. You do a good job and no one knows you're there.
No one knows you're there. Yeah. Exactly. Correct. Yeah. I mean, this is the 27th the show is going out. You know when you sort of go on those websites, it's really easy, cheap content where you sort of go, right, whose birthday is it?
Yeah.
What day is it? What's the sort of hallmark, nonsensical piece of shit day that someone sort of invented for a PR scam sort of day? So you'll get like, you know, national fucking eat a pancake. No, that's like literally, I've picked the worst
one. That's a
one.
Day.
Yeah. Literally, drive your car into a lay-by day. Yeah. It'll just be confusing. Like, why have you done that? Oh, it's sponsored by Ford or something. Anyway, 27th, make cutout snowflakes day.
What?
those little things you used to sort of like, you'd sort of fold it up, make some slices and then you unfold it.
I don't want admin on the 27th.
No, you don't want paper cuts, certainly. It's also National Fruitcake Day. Of course it fucking is.
Because, I can see that.
Christmas cake.
Do you like a Christmas cake?
I used to when I used to do it. My nan used to make them and drink a cup of tea with it. But no, not really. I'm not a big cake guy. But I do like a fruit cake out of all the cakes. I think there's a lot to be said for weird green raisins that live in there.
I can remember my mum starting the Christmas cake because, you know, you have to let it soak in that brandy and stuff for ages. I remember it felt like a few weeks out from Christmas, my mum would start making the Christmas cake and that was like exciting stuff.
Does she still do that?
She doesn't make one now because not enough people eat it.
Right.
But she used to do the proper thing. She used to put the marzipan over it. She used to do the icing. She used to have little things that lived on top of it. It was a cool thing.
We'd be eating it for like 6 months afterwards as well. They last for such a long
forever.
Time.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't last, but you just eat it anyway.
And then my ex-girlfriend's family used to do, they were very middle class. She won't mind me saying that. It was cool because she was very artistic and so was her dad. And they used to settle on a theme during the year at some point.
Mm.
And they would decorate the Christmas cake in that theme.
Okay, nice.
So you'd have like, I don't know, I mean, it's long after I was with
Splatterhouse.
I saw from social media. They had like a Brexit-themed one.
Yeah, right, okay, cool.
And then like one of them would be like, I don't know, Santa Claus reading the paper or something. It's kind of a cool thing.
Cool.
So I like a Christmas cake because I like what it represents. I mean, I will house any cake. I will just hoover up any cake, unless it's a coffee flavor. I don't really like coffee flavored stuff.
Right.
But that's one of the best things about this time of year, the 27th, no responsibility really, offices closed, nothing to do, hanging out, doing your thing, and just eating all the food that's left over. I know it's gluttonous, I know it's probably fucking terrible for the environment and all the rest of it, but let's just enjoy it.
Hey, look, I love Sprouts so much. I'm terrible for our environment in the home because I love Sprouts.
That Christmas party we went to when we used to have Christmas parties, you must have eaten about 400 Sprouts. I've never seen the like.
They were on little sticks, weren't they? It oscillated between stick, sprout. And I was just fucking jamming these fucking sprouts in my mouth. And the stick, I was just leaving behind because I didn't care for it. Bad stick, great sprouts.
So I don't really like sprouts that much, but I went to a nice restaurant once called the Copper Grouse in Manchester, Vermont. And they served up sprouts with like pancetta and all this seasoning. And it's actually very, very good.
People just need to get over it. Sprouts are delicious. And if you can't handle sprouts...
How do you cook them though?
Well, I mean, my partner doesn't eat a lot of meat, so I can't get away with but she doesn't really eat sprouts anyway, so I could actually get away with just pancetta, lovely. I mean, people throw in horse chestnuts, can't be arsed with that.
You don't eat more meat though, do you, on a Christmas dinner?
No, but little chunks of bacon would be fine on them. I'll give them a little something. But I love sprouts. I love the slightly sour taste to them.
Speaking of Christmas and Christmas traditions, obviously Christmas songs are a big thing. Mm. Around this time of year. Mm. And some would probably, I think rightly say, that the golden age of Christmas songs is long since gone, right?
Yeah.
People don't do them now.
No.
I mean, some people try. I mean, I think Ed Sheeran tried to do one with Elton John.
Yeah, recently.
I'll get your take on it, Pete, but I just wanted to say this. Everyone slated it. And it's like, I understand why you're slating it, fine, but they are trying to do a...
They are trying.
Yeah, they're trying to do like a thing that used to be good and people liked it and assumed it would be good. And now as soon as they try and do something to bring it back, you're kind of slagging it off.
But is it just our generation that like the kids probably will look back and hear that Ed Sheeran song and it will remind them of Christmas? Because it
won't be part of the consciousness, will it? Is it being played?
Well, you've heard it. I've heard it. Mm. We've clicked on it.
I haven't actually heard it. I just saw the review of it.
Right, okay. I guess there's not a culture of watching Top of the Pops anymore, so you choose the music that you listen to. So it's all very much on you, isn't
true.
It, I suppose?
That's true.
Nothing's curated anymore.
But I found this article, and we briefly touched on it a week or so ago, but I want to save it for today's show, which is the biggest earning Christmas songs. As I already said to you, Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade is the biggest earning Christmas song. Apparently it nets the writers of it, which I presume is Slade, Noddy Holder and his gang, £500,000 a year every year.
Right.
That's a fucking great life hack, isn't it? They know whatever happens every year, their baseline, they're going to make £500,000.
Between four or five of them,
It's still good.
Oh, it's still very good, yeah. No,
and they've got other songs as well. No one listens to them. But they've got other songs.
Go on, Feel the Noise. Yeah. Come on.
Do you remember the Slade one?
It's
Christmas, that one. Yeah. It's iconic,
right? It's iconic.
Some of the others in the list. So, can you guess what number two is? You should be able to.
Oh, is it Shaking Stevens?
No. Not even in the top 10. Where's that come from?
That's not even in the top 10.
Which one did he do?
Shaking Stevens, Christmas. Oh, God, I can't remember now. The Christmas Jitterbug. I don't really know what it's called.
You just said, Christmas.
Christmas Shaking Stevens.
Oh, it's Snow Is Falling.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not on there.
Not on there. No. Not even the top 10.
Number two is, obviously, And the Bells Are Ringing Out for Christmas Day.
Right, okay.
The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York, featuring Kirstie McColl, of course.
And a chorus of dads shouting that F word because they just need to hear it. Can't believe I was listening to it on the radio and it's not there.
Well,
they've edited it out.
You can't say anything these days.
Can't say anything these days.
Number three.
Can't scream anything in a Tesco these days.
You can guess number three.
What's number three?
I'm not going to make it the whole top ten.
So number one is It's Christmas, Noddy Holder. Number two is The Pogues.
Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade.
Okay. Merry Christmas, War Is Over, John Lennon.
No. No, that's not in the top ten either.
Fucking hell. These absolute imposters?
Number three is Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah, no, that is true. Yeah. Why is that not a number one? That's all fucking... Yeah.
I don't know.
That's her thing now, isn't it? She doesn't do anything for this. She's like Santa. She doesn't do anything. And then when it gets to... back in November, bang, Vegas residency, baby.
I saw a brilliant... Adele's doing a Vegas residency now.
Good.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Fucking money, baby.
Bunts.
I saw a great video of Mariah Carey recently where she comes out to play some event or something. I think she probably does those things that you talk about, the Russian oligarch stuff that Robbie Williams does. Yeah. And she comes out onto... They announce her onto stage. She comes out onto stage and stands up to the mic to start singing. The song starts. She steps up to the mic, looks around at the spotlights on her, decides that she doesn't really like the light because it makes her look bad, I guess. Just moves everything to the side, just stands in the dark and carries on singing. This is great Mariah Carey behavior.
Smashing.
But anyway, one thing that the reason I brought this up, and I'm going to be a little controversial here.
Right.
People don't like to talk about this. People do not like to admit it. And it is beyond the pale of popular rhetoric.
Right.
But the Gary Glitter Christmas song is fucking brilliant. They never play it anymore.
Which one's that
it's
one?
It's called though? Another Rock and Roll Christmas.
Another Rock and Roll Christmas.
Another Christmas Rock and Roll. No one listens to it anymore. I understand why. It's beyond the pale, but we should admit that it's brilliant.
Would you notice that if, like the man who was playing Michael Jackson in
the food market,
yeah. Would you necessarily notice that that was Gary Glitter? Because obviously, famously, the most iconic scene in the Joker film features Gary Glitter.
Does it?
Yeah. Doctor Who, hey, or whatever it is. It's
That's not Gary Glitter.
The Doctor Who is not Gary Glitter, but it's the same tune. Hey!
Hey! How have they got around that then?
I'm fairly certain that they have somebody wrote a think piece or possibly even a research piece that he doesn't actually technically get any money out of that, but I don't know how that would work because presumably he was writer and executor of that particular song. And they play it at NFL games, obviously. But nobody knows it's Gary Glitter.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because... Mm. I feel like we don't have a take on that. We don't have an official line.
Take a stab in the dark.
No, society doesn't have a line on that. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they haven't got a line on Jackson either.
What do you mean? We haven't sort of like
no one said right now this is what's happening.
We've caged the man, or the man's dead. Yeah. So we can't do anything about that. But everything that's kind of around it, because you know, music is such a business and such an industry.
Yeah.
Around it, everyone's got a mouth to feed, and you know, why should the co-writer of that song that Gary Glitter worked on? Why should he go hungry because of what fucking Glitter got?
What about Rod Templeton who wrote all the Jackson songs?
Okay.
Does he deserve to eat?
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Probably will.
Probably will.
But what's your take? Do you think we should be still listening to Michael Jackson?
Oh, I don't even know.
Exactly, no one knows.
I know, nobody knows.
No one fucking knows. So what are you going to do for New Year?
I've got to look at the man in the mirror and ask myself to make a change.
We've got a show on Thursday just before New Year, but
yes.
While we're on the subject, what are you going to do for New Year? Because it's dead now, isn't it, New Year, really?
It is dead a little bit. It's Romeo done. I'm going to do fuck all. My partner's working for most of the sort of New Year's period. But yeah, just stay at home, I guess. Stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Stay home, stay out of trouble.
Will you stay up?
Yeah, they usually have. Essex seems to go really big on fireworks, and so does Kent, actually. You can see across the estuary, Kent usually sort of smash out some pretty decent fireworks.
I don't like fireworks. Well, do your dogs not get scared?
Couldn't give a shit. Could not give
a shit.
Mind. Yeah, amazing. Really.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I imagine there'll be some kind of show. Some kind of sweet show.
You'd be Jules Holland, will you?
bit of a nanny. They film that in like summer, don't they?
Gentlemen! No!
Ladies and gentlemen! 2022!
Yeah. Like with a clock on his head. Who is that? I heard that that's
what? Who's got a clock
Barack
on their
Obama.
Head? Who's got a clock on their head?
Every Jules Holland Hootenanny.
Right.
Is a guy who walks around.
I've not watched. I mean, to be fair, the last 10 years I've not been watching Hootenanny. I've been out being cool.
Well, half of that's true. I'm going to tell you now, there's a guy who walks around with a big clock on his head.
Right.
And he's kind of famous for it, right?
Yeah.
He looks like that, right?
Oh, okay. And he's got a little clock head.
And it counts down to the new year.
Yeah.
But they film it in like July or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I also heard that they moved the studio right down to Kent because that's where Jules Holland lives. But that doesn't strike me as the kind of thing the BBC would do.
Because everything the BBC do is studied and like any kind of excess like that, you know, we can talk about... different ways the BBC is funded and stuff, but like any kind of excess would be exposed by the Daily Mail. If they were seen to do anything out of the ordinary, that would be exposed as a situation.
It would be used as a stick to beat.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Absolutely right. Mm. All right, Pete, let's have a little break. When we come back, we'll do some more.
Transfixed by the clock, man.
I was
looking at it, his eyes gone for who's just time toll.
I tried to make a rumor up that it was like Barack Obama in it or something.
Yeah,
or a rumor that it was someone famous, but I couldn't really think about it. I just didn't pull it off, so I just fucking.
Maybe Vic Reeves or something.
Anyway,
he's mates with him, isn't he?
More New Year's Eve chat on Thursday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do some more. We had so many good emails about people's good and bad Christmases that we'll do a few more of those.
Cool.
Just the other side of this.
Lovely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's part two of the Luke and Pete Show you were listening to like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And we're back.
I don't think people will be confused, will they?
Will they be confused?
By the way,
I'm confused all the time, Luke. I mean, come on.
Before we get into these emails,
yeah.
Have you heard of a podcast series called Sweet Bobby?
Yes, I listened to four.
Good, right?
Good, yeah. The thing has just been revealed. But I didn't go further than that. I was like, oh, cool, yeah, no, it's don't need to care about that.
It's very kind of distinct. It's got two distinct kind of stages to it.
Yes, like a before times and an after time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I thought it was good. Catfishing is personal and difficult.
Yeah.
But there were certain stages along the way where I went, I think she might be a bit thick.
Out of order.
It's not out of order. I think she might be thick.
It's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because you think to yourself,
what would I do in that permission?
But Pete, that's the issue, I think, around coercive control and and the psychology of it and stuff.
But no, in the start bits where there's always an excuse and you sort of go, I mean, that would be, maybe I'm just more of a suspicious mind. But then with coercive control and kind of like someone who's stringing you along, like she's a dreamer, she's a hoper. She's a lover,
I think
fundamentally.
It needs to be...
You have to be a certain kind of person,
perfect. I think.
I'm cynical. Right. Anyone who's ever been interested in me...
Your heart's like a stone, isn't it?
Like a stone.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, anyone who's ever interested in me, I'm always like, what's this about then? What's going on?
What's the rub? What's the work here?
If you go collect five geeks and get a free cup of coffee, what's going on?
I don't think you're a geek.
I'm very suspect.
Oddball.
Oddball. Yeah. A man who belongs on the fringe of society, as yours used to say. Yeah.
Well, I think that's fair. You took that as an insult. I don't think you should.
It's nice at the fringes.
If I said to you,
oh, something interesting happening out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I said to you, Pete, the problem with the thing about you, Pete, is that you're just really down the middle mainstream. You'd be offended by that as well.
Yeah. I'm on the fringes. I'm with the Geordie dancer. Dances Outside the Cenotaph.
The Huddersfield Rapper.
The Huddersfield Rapper, Purple Aki. I don't know, all them.
The guy all you, Lawrence, Hartlepool's Lawrence.
Hartlepool's Lawrence, R.I.P. Yeah.
How did he die again? Can't talk about it.
I think he did a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
He was implicated in a murder case, but he obviously had nothing to do with it.
Bloody hell, you sound on the
Jeffrey
Epstein over there,
when you're an oddball in Hartlepool, did you murder someone? It's like, no, I didn't. I'm just an oddball. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm just different to you.
Just different to you.
Like the guy who walks up and down the road up here who's got a dog in a pushchair.
I've not seen this guy, but I very much like to see him. What's this guy?
Yeah, you sometimes see him on the way into work. What? Oh, you probably don't come in the same way as me, so you don't see him.
What?
He's always walking his dog. I don't want to kind of cast aspersions over him. He's a human being worthy of respect, but he does take his dog for a walk, but put his dog in a pushchair.
But it might be an old dog.
It's not.
Oh.
Doesn't look like one to me.
Doesn't look like one.
I mean, maybe it is then, and maybe he's just giving him a little walk out. It does look odd.
Yeah, oh, I like it.
Anyway, Rich, I hope you're delighted to be... read out after that chat. He's got in touch about his worst Christmas ever.
Yeah. Okay.
So strap yourselves in for this one. He says, hi, Luke and Pete, long time listener, first time emailer. And what always
horny
impresses me is that a lot of these emails we ask for, people have to take a lot of time to write them out.
Yeah.
This one's
a
long
one. And I appreciate you crafting it in this way.
Yeah, I appreciate the time invested. Long time listener, first time emailer, says Rich. I felt I had to email him about my worst ever Christmas. As a new father of an 11-month-old and a big fan of Christmas, me and the wife I have access to decided that instead of spending it elsewhere, we would host Christmas and begin some new family traditions. What a lovely idea. What a lovely thing to do.
That's nice.
My parents, for the first time in 30-plus years, agreed that they would come to us instead of hosting themselves. Mm. Everything was ready. We made a lovely, albeit ugly, gingerbread house on Christmas Eve, and I prepared the turkey for the big day. As my parents were en route to us, the wife I have access to was the first to get struck down with a nasty bout of norovirus.
Oh, no.
Shit. Terrible
Shitting
timing.
Hell.
My parents arrived and I informed them that she was ill upstairs and it was likely going to be a grim Christmas for her away from the rest of us. Later that evening, I was next to fall, meaning that by Christmas morning, both of us were utterly unable to look after our son on his first Christmas. Awful. Thankfully, as my parents were there, they were able to look after him. My mum carried my son down the stairs early Christmas morning, though, and slipped, slamming her foot into the stair gate at the bottom of the stairs. In pain, but playing the trooper, she carried on looking after my son, and my wife and I made a small amount of effort to go downstairs for the present opening. At the end of this important part of Christmas, it was clear my mum would need some medical attention as her pain had increased.
Oh, God.
Despite her protest, my dad insisted she go to A&E, and after one of the shortest ever waits and an A&E on record, it was established my poor mum had actually broken a bone in her leg.
What?
On returning to the house, she then got struck down with the norovirus as well. Because obviously, by this point, my words, not Rich's, the house was clearly a fucking plague pit. to just top these things off, this left my dad to cook Christmas dinner for himself, while the rest of us were too ill to move from the bathroom and certainly not in the festive mood. I love that. The dad's just there cooking dinner for himself.
Yeah.
On Boxing Day, as my mum's symptoms slowed, they took the opportunity to head home. No sooner did they get home than my dad was the last man standing, but finally defeated and joined the rest of us in experiencing the worst Christmas you could want. All in all, the Christmas that shall not be named has gone down in folklore in my family, and we are not going to host anyone on Christmas Day anytime soon. All the best, Rich. I hope your family has a lovely time this year.
I hope they did. Yeah, my main worry is genuinely, because I get, you know, I got a poorly tum-tum all the time. I would hate to get food poisoning or norovirus at someone else's house.
Yeah, you want to be home, don't you?
You want to be home. You want to have access to a toilet that you just sort of sleep in or whatever. Like, I just don't want to be worrying about other people's ablution routine on top of my own. You know what I mean? You just want to go, oh my God, I just need to shit. But someone else is shitting. I've got to hold this.
You feel like...
And the smells and the noises and the sounds and the smells.
And you feel like you're sullying someone else's house.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I can remember... I mean, this might tell you a lot about what's happened to me since, but I remember being... I may have told you this story before. One of my best friends at the time, Dave Watson, good lad.
Good lad.
And his old man sadly passed away. He was a really good lad as well. And he was the kind of dad who was like, right, we're going to cut the big tree in the front garden down and you two are going to help me. And we're like 13 and it was like amazing. Like, yeah, fucking definitely. So anyway, he cut the tree down. But before he did that, I had to cut some of the branches off it. And he cut one of the branches off it and it was quite a big branch and it landed on my head.
Yeah.
Right. Shouldn't have happened.
Should have
He should have been responsible. I think I got knocked out.
Right.
And the reason I'm saying that is because I woke up in my friend David's bed.
Yeah. Pants on the wrong way.
No. And I was like being sick all the time.
Oh, wow.
Bad.
That's bad.
Right? I'm pretty sure he knew my parents. I'm sure he told them and it was fine because, you know, it's the fucking early 90s and it was whatever, this thing's happening. Yeah. Don't worry about it. But I can remember.
Clear spinal liquid coming out of your nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Look at that, my ear hole. Yeah. Shit myself. Yeah. But I can remember being sick in their house. And even though they literally lived in the same road, just right up the other end,
yeah,
I remember just thinking, I just want to be home. Yeah. But I couldn't get home.
You know? Oh, Luke.
And then my mate Dave, he was like, oh, how are you feeling? I was like, yeah, I'm feeling a bit better. He's like, and it's really sweet of him to do in retrospect. But he was like, oh, I bought you a Mars bar. I was like, all right, wicked, cool. Thanks. And I ate it, sick again, obviously.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is that, like, it's not great being outside of your own home when you're sick, right?
Oh, I've got terrible, terrible brain injuries.
Yeah, well, you've literally had, like, half your brain removed by a big tree. Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Fucking horrible.
It is bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Different times.
Yeah,
different times.
Let's squeeze one more email in before we go. There's one there from Cameron, Pete. Do you want to do it? It's about awkward Christmas.
I'll find Cameron. No, I don't want to bookmark that. That's not what I want to do. Cameron's awkward Christmas. Hey, lads. Short time, first time. I thought I'd tell you about the time my younger brother taught me a valuable lesson at Christmas time.
That's a lot of time. That's four times in the
time
first sentence.
For lessons. Yeah. As a kid, days at my grandma's house were long and boring and very little conversation was had. In an attempt to break the cycle of complete boredom, one day my brother asked about the electric pencil sharpener on my grandma's desk and feigned interest in it for a few minutes just to get some sort of conversation flowing. I know the feeling. Fast forward 2 weeks to Christmas Day. I'm opening the new PlayStation game I'd wanted for months as my brother opens his gift to find an electronic pencil sharpener.
I knew where that was going straight away.
No. Oh, dear. Oh, no. I hate what comes next here. My, at the time, six-year-old brother is unable to keep his emotions in check and immediately bursts into tears. This turns into quite a big argument between my mum and my grandmother and a very tense Christmas lunch. However, it taught me a valuable lesson. Never show interest in anything within a month of Christmas. And that is an excellent lesson.
Very. I wouldn't have been able to be... I would have had to pretend to like it.
There is a... Yeah, I think I would too. Yeah. But I would have cajoled my parents into buying the right thing. I think I...
But you wouldn't know, because you don't know, do you?
Oh, no, I would have cajoled them into getting the exact right thing.
Did you used to look for Christmas presents?
Every last fucking Christmas ruined by me and my inquisitiveness.
Did you used to pretend that you was a surprise?
Yep.
No one suspected?
I'd asked for something. And I was like, I really want an Amiga 1200. It'd be amazing. And I was like, where the fuck is it? Where is it? And I found every big present I've ever had.
Huh.
Scumbag.
But your parents knew that you had? Well, they didn't
know. No, they didn't know. No. Because you think like, as a kid, you always think you're under suspicion for things that you've done. You know what I mean? Like they're always looking for... But when you live in a house with kids... The kids are all just fucking with stuff anyway. So that you wouldn't remember where you left something because some kid would come along and fucking moved it or knocked it over or smashed it or eaten it or something. So like you'd never really know where things were anyway. So you'd just be like, I'll put it in that cupboard. I won't worry about it. And I was like looking for traps and stuff that my dad had put like a single hair across the corner of the door.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's just like if he fucking finds it, he's found it. He's a dickhead. So,
but you believe in Santa Claus?
You what?
You believe in Santa Claus as a kid?
No. I did from about three. I didn't believe in Santa Claus. I don't know. I don't think there was any. It was clearly my parents. Like, what does my dad, what does Santa know about the Amiga 500 entertainment series box?
You were not a normal child.
I'm not a normal child.
No. I want to squeeze one more email in before we go.
I've become a not a normal boy.
Because I think people have taken the...
And man.
People have taken the time to email in, so we should get through as many as we can.
Hero Quest is back.
I'm just... Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I used to love Hero
Quest.
Yes,
please.
And Space Crusade.
I've said it before. My first ejaculation was during a... My first ejaculation was during...
Christmas show.
Well, post-Christmas show. It was during... I was playing the Amiga version of Hero Quest. It was like they did a video game version, like a turn-based. And I felt all funny. And then, whoa! The journey begins. The thing that ruined my life, all over a couple of fucking orcs and a dwarf. Fantastic. What email do you want to read?
I can't fucking do it. I can't. You've never told us that before.
I have.
Why wasn't it?
Spoffed on a pillow.
Wasn't there a buxom wench involved?
I don't think there was. I don't think there was any women in there. Maybe she was like an elf or something, but that wasn't what I was expecting. I just remember.
Were you rubbing yourself?
I guess. No, I don't think I was just sort of like, I feel funny.
And I was saying, if you put your life into an algorithm and said, how did this man first ejaculate? It would be this. Amiga, check.
Yeah.
Computer game, check. Into a pillow, check.
A version of a role playing game on the Amiga, yeah.
Furtive glances, yeah. Check.
I might play it again, see if it reignites.
Maybe it's like a Pavlovian reaction.
Yes, my God.
I hope not.
But everyone remembers their first.
That'll be a fucking Patreon show.
Hello at lookatpeachshow.com.
Anyway, Josh, I'm sorry that you have had to follow that.
Let us know, Josh. Okay, right.
Josh has emailed in with an email about a garage sack.
Okay, good.
I don't know what it is.
Lovely.
There's less about your sack, more about his garage sack. Are you doing it or do you want me to do it?
I'll smash it out.
Go for it.
Josh emailed a while back about his dad sharing an X-ray dick pic on Facebook.
Yeah, classic.
A wonderful classic email.
Yeah.
Very much our level. You furrow your brow when I'm dirty. But he's been dirty as well with his dad's cock. So you asked for Christmas-related emails and I wanted to answer your call to action by describing my favourite festive tradition, the playing of garage sack.
It's just weird.
The best thing about Christmas time is in my rather boring home of Chesham.
I love Chesham, by the way. Lovely part of the world. Buckinghamshire.
Lovely,
Beautiful part of the world.
Is that old friends have escaped to greener pastures, return for family visits, providing rare opportunities to meet up. These meets would often take place at my residence, the pubs in the area being A, rubbish, and B, closed, on the 25th at least. After fulfilling family commitments, one or two friends would visit my place for late night drinks, and at many such meets, king-size roll-up cigarettes were shared in my garage. One fateful night in December 2010, my brother, two friends and I were merrily doing what we did in the garage when one of us picked up a semi-inflated Pilates ball about half the size of a football. We started playing some form of keepy-uppy with very relaxed rules about which part of the body could be used to strike the half-inflated sack-like object. On every subsequent trip to the garage that night, we carried on with the game, and at some point, the term garage sack was coined by one or other of us. This seemingly innocuous event would send ripples through time. We played several more times before the end of the festive season that year, and every subsequent year until Christmas 2016, after which I moved abroad. Over its six-year lifespan, Garage Sack developed as we created more imaginative ways of sacking. In its final form, it was a blend of volleyball and basketball where the goal was to pass the sack around the garage before eventually scoring into a collapsible storage box that was hung on the wall like a basketball ring. You just needed to create the longest, most stylish build-ups possible before spectacularly finishing with a head, chest, shoulder, or in any way that looked really cool. At its peak, we had 15 people crammed into the garage. Silly, I know, but I genuinely look forward to this every single year. It was ultimately about friends that rarely got to see each other, meeting up and having a laugh. It saddens me that we've moved on in our lives now and the days of Garage Sack are behind us. Maybe it can be resurrected one day, maybe not. All I know is that I'm richer for having sacked and that those 7 Garage Sack Christmases will be always remembered fondly. Best wishes. Have an excellent Christmas. Josh, what a lovely, wholesome email.
What? Garage Sack, dude.
Garage Sack, man.
Yeah, that sounds great.
In the professional game.
I'll be up for it. I'll be up for a game of Garage Sack. Oh, listen, anything that gets me out of playing Hero Quest on the Amiga with Pete works well for me.
There's an orc over there.
Oh my God. Great stuff. Yeah. Thank you very much, Josh. I think it's only fair we give you the final word on today's Christmas special.
Definitely.
We hope you continue to have a lovely festive period. We'll be back on Thursday, the 30th.
News.
For more of this nonsense. Keep your emails coming in. We'll probably squeeze a few more Christmas-themed ones in because it is still technically Christmas around then.
Yeah.
Before looking on with horror at another year ticking past and wondering what 2022 holds for us. Could be anything, couldn't it, after the last couple of years?
Pretty much.
Stay safe, look after yourselves and each other, and we'll speak to you again soon. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, Peter. Bye.
It's goodbye from me too.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.